standing in a garden. I can't remember where. It's trimmed and neat. Yew trees cut into conical shapes. There are primroses in the beds, snowdrops. And beneath the trees that border the garden are star-shaped wood anemones. Bluebells and forget-me-nots form a lake of blue in the near distance. There's white blossom falling in the wind. There's been a cold spell and the ground is hard and cold to touch. The morning light spans the sky and in the distance a small coppice is dipped in pink mist, as if the garden is the only real place on earth, and everything beyond it is a revenant, a ghostly image of what fields and trees might be in this pink light of a fading dawn. I take my shoes off. I must be 10 or 11. In the distance, my father is shouting for me to come in. I take my shoes off and place my feet on the cold, wet ground. Everything is so green. I always find a place somewhere with remnants of this moment when I'm due for months away from Earth. I go and stand on cold ground, where the grass still flickers with crystals of frost and the beginning of spring, wood pigeons and the threat of rain. Many of us do this. And this morning, there was a mist over the ocean, and I thought I saw trees beneath. But now the blue sun is rising, and my cabin has turned grey in its light, and the ocean is just plasma again. Writing the report isn't going to be easy. I believe I will need to miss out elements, people. I would like to be honest, but being honest, well, that will be difficult. As I look down, I can see a mimoid just beginning to build in the ocean as I look at it now. I can see the plasma forming two buttresses from which two worlds will form, identical and unique, which will span the ocean for just a few hours before the sea reclaims it again. But most of all... No. I'll start with the landing. Of course, the landing. Already my memory shifts and erases, and even now attempts to create an ordered reason for everything. The landing. There was no answer.
Prometheus to Station Solaris. Prometheus to Station Solaris. Come in, please. Prometheus to Station Solaris. Station Solaris.
Adjust course. Adjust course.
Station Solaris, come in, please. Adjust correct my course. Station Solaris, come in. Come in. Is there anybody there? Gabarion.
Adjust course.
Gabarion. Someone must be there. Please come in.
Course corrected. You are on the correct flight path. Docking in 20 seconds. Sit back and relax. 17. 16.
Station Solaris, I'm about to land.
15. 14. 13. 12. 11. 10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. Docking. 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 You have arrived. Welcome to Station Solaris.
Nothing.
Nobody. Hello? 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 Is there anybody there? Hello? Hello?
Who?
Ah, somebody at last. You don't know how good that
is. I don't know you. I don't know you. What do you want with me?
You were expecting me?
No.
You were?
No.
You were told?
No, I wasn't.
Are you all right?
Yes. Why?
You were notified. You seem... Are you sure you're okay?
Yes. You actually seem concerned.
Why wouldn't I be?
So that's how it is now. That's it. I don't know you.
No.
I don't know you.
I know you don't.
Yes, yes. You know that, don't you? You know that.
Where's Skibarian?
Oh. Skibarian.
Do you know where he is?
You've come for Skibarian.
Where can I find him?
Oh, good.
Where is he?
Well, how should I know?
You are Dr. Snow, aren't you?
Yes.
Can you tell me where Skibarian is?
Why ask me when you already know?
How could I? When I've only just arrived.
You've just arrived?
Yes, of course I have.
Where have you come from?
From Earth. Where else?
Earth?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
I'm Dr. Kelvin.
Oh,
Chris,
yes.
Chris Kelvin.
Yes.
You were notified.
Yes.
Notified.
Yes, indeed.
Where's Skibarian?
Why don't you have a bath? Come back in an hour.
Where is he?
There's been an accident.
An accident?
Go to your cabin. Get out of your spacesuit. Come back in an hour.
What kind of accident?
Do you know Sartorius?
What kind of accident?
Sartorius?
Yes.
Do you know him?
From his photo.
Good. Then you'll know him if you see him.
Skibarian.
Sartorius doesn't come out much until dark. In any case, you know what he looks like.
Yes.
I mean, if you see anyone else.
Who would I see?
Whatever you do, don't attack.
Attack what? What am I going to see, Snow? A ghost?
You think I'm mad? You think I'm mad? Of course. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't anyone? I just wanted to warn you. That's all I can do. You've been warned. Yes?
What am I going to see?
I don't know. It depends on you.
Hallucinations, you mean?
Hallucinations? No. No, not hallucinations. You've got to be on your guard.
Against what? Is that what happened to Skibarian?
Come back in an hour.
I think I'll speak to Sartorius first.
You can try.
Won't he speak to me?
He'll be in the lab. In an hour. Come back then.
Skibarian.
Yes?
Is he dead?
Yes.
Dr. Sartorius. Dr. Sartorius. I've just arrived. Dr. Chris Kelvin, you were expecting me. From the Prometheus. It's important. May I speak with you? Dr. Sartorius. Sartorius. I know you're in there. Why don't you speak to me?
Silence. Do I write that down? How an eminent, highly regarded scientist had barricaded himself into a room and wouldn't speak to anyone? I must have given up and walked through the space station to find my cabin. Walked through the metallic labyrinth of level 2 to my empty chamber. I opened the door to my room. Yes, I remember the red light of Solaris's second sun, the red sun flooding over every part of the space within. It was dusk and a mist had settled over the ocean surface, and all I could make out were faint silvery shadows beneath the cloud, waves illuminated by flecks of pink from the red setting sun. Every schoolboy's dream, a view of the ocean on Solaris. Yes, that must have been the first time I saw the ocean. Vast, thick, still, breathtaking. I remember I decided to shower and change and then go and inspect Gibarion's room. Yes, that's what I must have decided to do then. I'll write that. But no. No, I won't include what I noticed as I turned away from Snow, as I left him in the library. No, my report won't include that. What I saw. The dried blood on the back of his clenched fists. He was always messy, Gibarion. There was a fight here, wasn't there? The bed is bent. How could anything... Oh. His alloy recorder, I'll have that. Computer, search recent file history.
Solaris, Volume 1. Burton Report, classified.
The Burton Report? Computer, copy.
Copying.
Dr. Gibarion. Dr. Gibarion, is that you? Are you there?
Copying complete.
Dr. Gibarion, is that you? You talk to me. I won't hurt you. No more. Dr. Gibarion.
It's not him.
No. Of course not. No, you're not there now. You're below. Below.
Who's there?
Kelvin, of course.
Are you all right?
You said come back in an hour.
Yes, of course.
Did you forget?
Come in. Did you shower?
Yes.
Have you been in Gibarion's room?
Why do you ask?
I think you might. It's a logical thing to do.
Yes, I had a look.
Did you find anything?
His alloy recorder.
Ah. Oh, I'll leave you to listen to that.
You're not interested?
No.
There were notes on the floor. An experiment. Was it to do with the ocean?
The ocean. Yes, I should think so.
But you don't know.
We keep ourselves pretty much to ourselves.
You don't even consult each other on research? Isn't that why you're here?
Well, you can do much with it.
With what?
The ocean. It readjusts our instruments.
It does what?
It changes them. Anything we put in the plasma. So our readings become useless. And when we can pick up a reading, it either bombards us with indecipherable information like an hysteric, or it's as silent as the night.
You're talking about it.
There's a sort of metric humming. Magnetic impulses like a mathematical language. A long series of codes and notes to itself, as if it were endlessly deciphering, calculating, a private conversation.
You think it thinks?
A monstrous entity, idling its time away in extravagant theoretical cognition of the nature of the universe, way beyond us.
You think it thinks?
I think it bullies.
Bullies? Because it's caused instruments to malfunction?
It's a lump of uncommunicative, vindictive plasma, that's what it is. That's my discovery. My current theory.
Why was Gabarian looking at the Burton report?
Ah, the infamous Burton report.
It's classified.
Banned, you mean?
Classified.
Did you see anyone?
You mean Sartorius? No.
What do you think happened to Gabarian?
I don't know. Was he dead when you found him?
Yes. Rammed into the locker. His heart was still beating.
Why didn't you try to resuscitate
him? By the time we got him out, he was dead. I've drafted a post-mortem. Yeah.
A post-nostal injection?
Yes.
Suicide?
Indeed.
But that's impossible. Implausible.
Is it?
Did he have any symptoms?
Depression, anxiety. You know more about that sort of thing than me.
He injected himself and then hid in the locker.
Is that what you think?
So, it wasn't just depression, it was also severe paranoia.
Perhaps.
There's only one signature on this.
Sartorius seldom comes out.
You mean he won't come out? He's locked himself in.
Maybe.
You're deliberately obstructing me.
Am I?
You both are.
You tried to talk to him?
Yes.
And he wouldn't?
No.
Are you sure you didn't see anyone, Kelvin?
No. I heard something.
Ah.
A woman's voice. An African woman.
Yes.
How did she get here? Do you know who she is?
No.
Come on, Snow. We're totally isolated here. Cut off. Things are confused enough as it is. Why don't you just tell me what you know? I won't think you're mad.
Mad? No. God, no.
Did Gabarian go mad?
No. I think he'd still be here if he had.
So your report of a breakdown is a fabrication?
I suppose so.
You suppose so? Why not write the truth?
You'll have to write a report, won't you?
Yes, of course.
I will remind you of this conversation when you write it.
Why won't you tell me what's been going on here?
You wouldn't understand.
Try me.
Shh, 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 shh. Don't open it too wide. Don't frighten her.
I just want to see her. Where did she come from?
I don't know. I really don't know.
She reminds me of a hospital Gabarian was working in. Some photos I saw in North Africa. But that's... Is anyone else here?
Possibly.
How can there be other people here?
It won't make any sense to you.
Just tell me.
I will, but not now.
Snow.
Not now. You wouldn't understand now. There's no point in telling you now. I'm not being difficult. There really is no point. Later, I'll tell you later.
Will she attack?
I shouldn't think so.
Where are the gas pistols?
They're over here.
I'm going to try to talk to Sartorius again.
He's usually in the lab.
Is he still conducting research on the ocean?
Maybe.
And Gibarion's body?
In the morgue, level one.
I'll go there after. We'll talk later, then.
Yes. Kelvin, it isn't that I won't. It really isn't. It's just... I can't.
Dr. Sartorius, it's Chris Kelvin. I was here earlier. You were notified. I'm alone, Dr. Sartorius. It's important that I speak to you. I have not made a 3-month journey to play games with you. Open this door now, or I will break it down. Open up! Open up!
All right, all right.
Dr. Sartorius?
Yes, I'll come out. But you must give your word not to come in.
All right.
Well?
My name is Dr. Chris Kelvin. I was a colleague of Gibarion from the Academy.
Yes, I know who you are.
Gibarion's dead.
Yes, I'm listening.
Did he commit suicide? Who found the body, you or Snow?
Didn't Snow tell you what happened?
Yes, but I want to know from you.
As a trained psychologist, do you think you have the right background to conduct a criminal investigation? You're talking to me as if I'm a suspect, Dr. Kelvin.
You are a suspect.
Retract that now, or I'll lodge a complaint against you.
No. You won't talk to me, you've barricaded yourself into the lab, and you're clearly hiding something. What was that?
Go away. For God's sake, go away. Please, let me go. I'll join you later. I'll do whatever you want. Only please go away now.
Sartorius! Sartorius! Open up! Open up!
And then the morgue. I partially remove the cloth to see his face. Gibarion looks unfamiliar. Thinner. Smaller. Hollow. Do I write that? Yes, I saw him. I could write that. I could write that. But that wouldn't be true. It would be economical truth. Next to him, with his hair wound tightly around her fingers, was the black African. The room was freezing. No human could live in those sub-zero temperatures. Her ankle was hanging off the edge of the couch. The sole of her foot was perfect. Unbroken skin, like a child's. No foot could remain so soft carrying such weight. I touched it. I wanted to see if she was warm. And she withdrew her foot, but continued to lie motionless next to Gibarion's dead form, her body lightly breathing. And then I would have gone back. I remember hesitating in front of the door to my room. I remember the certainty that someone was waiting for me inside. Absolutely certain of it. And the dread. But I shan't write that. I remember opening the door slowly, edging in, and yet there was nothing. Only the ocean. I would have laid back on the bed and watched it heave and fall through the cabin window. The plasma twisting in viscous forms. A mountain, a sphere, sea anemones, swirling polyps. And then the two spinning buttresses began to rise up through the circling gas. And the ocean roared. And I watched my first mimoid form. The buttresses are coated with steam and matter that twist outward into numerous long filaments, like thin arms seeking each other. And then they begin to build. Both buttresses spin out from the center and make an exact mirror copy of each other. network after network, like a vast open tapestry, and then more intricate, defying gravity, transfiguring into complex machines, buildings, towers, roads, into what appears from above to be city after magnificent city. This process takes about 2 to 3 hours. A monumental civilization of intricate units, each unique in its form, but with its sister reflected across the other side of the Mimoid. After this frantic beginning, the Mimoid begins to slow. Even more considered and fragile forms appear. Romanesque vaulting, baroque cascades, alabaster-like, white carving of silent secret forms. And then the ocean stages its assault. Legions of waves surge, licking the side of the Mimoid. Now the Mimoid reacts to the onslaught with what can only be described as panic. Smooth, harmonious play of planes and lines accelerates as if the Mimoid is hurrying to complete its task in the face of annihilation. The harmonious drone of the ocean changes and dissonance rings across this breathtaking, crumbling world. The destruction grows more violent. The force of a hurricane streaming out of the depths and howling through thousands of galleries. There are final flutterings, winged contortions, a giant hawk moth in the gaping mouth of a tornado. The Colossus finally sinks, and the space where it once stood grows still and finally silent. Every observer of this phenomenon feels like a spectator at a public massacre. It is awful to watch. You are transfixed in terrible awe, watching a fight to death. And then it was over. My first Mimoid. And finally, I remember. I close my eyes, taking myself back to where I always go when I'm tired, when I'm scared. I stand in the garden. It is raining. In the distance, there is a mist that covers everything. So the only thing that seems really real is where I am standing now, in my waking dream, in the middle of a garden.
Rhea.
She is standing in the blue light of the blue sun. Rhea. Beautiful. Young. There again in front of me, in a white dress. I hadn't dreamt of her for so long. There was nothing but her once in my dreams. I close my eyes and attempt to crawl back into a deeper sleep. But when I open my eyes again, she's still there, watching me, biting her lower lip, in the same white dress, her head to one side, looking at me. So I was still dreaming.
Poor little thing. Rhea. Rhea, you mean to stay long?
Stay?
And she spoke to me.
Stay?
Yes.
Of course.
And she continues to stare at me. I am in the cabin. I am on Solaris. Everything is as it was before I slept. Apart from her.
Why wouldn't I stay?
No, of course. Why wouldn't you?
Are you angry with me?
No. Why would I be?
I don't know. You look angry.
Do I?
And I was no longer certain that I was dreaming.
Or hurt.
How did you get here?
I don't know. It was easy enough. Is it important, Chris?
No.
I came across you when you were asleep. I didn't like to wake you because you get so cross. But you're not cross.
No. Rhea?
Yes?
Where are we?
Oh. At home.
Yes, of course. We're at home. Where's home?
Grace.
What?
I'm happy.
That's good.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Feeling happy.
How long were you watching me?
Not long. It was nice to watch you sleep. I always like watching you sleep. Peaceful.
You weren't here before.
Before when?
Before I was sleeping.
No. You were asleep when I came in.
Where are your things?
What things?
Are the clothes.
I don't know. Maybe in one of the lockers. I'll go and see. No, not there. Nor there. Have you hidden them?
No.
Played a joke?
No.
Well, I don't know where they are. They'll be somewhere. You need a shave.
Yes.
Let me help you.
I can do it.
As you wish. How you stare at me. Chris?
What is it?
Chris?
Yes?
Are my things in another room?
Perhaps.
Is there another room? I have this feeling that something has happened. Has something happened? I think I've forgotten. I've forgotten a lot of things. I can only remember you. I can't remember anything else.
It will come back.
Will it? Have I been ill?
Yes, in a way, you've been ill.
There you are. That explains it. Yes, that's looking better now. Now you've shaved. Clear skin. Yes, that's much better. We're all right, aren't we?
Yes, of course we are. Couldn't be better.
Couldn't be better. Are you sure we're all right, only...
I'm certain we're all right.
There again. Cross. Is that what happened? I made you cross? I make you very angry and...
No, you don't.
No. If you say so. It's just when you answer me like that, I know that means couldn't be worse.
No. Everything's good. Very good. Rhea, I have to go and do some work now. I'm going to have to leave you for a while.
Will you be long?
No, maybe an hour.
I'm coming with you.
You can't come with me. I've worked too
much. I'm coming with you.
It's impossible, Rhea. Out of the question. You must stay here.
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It's as though I mustn't let you out of my sight.
But I'll have to be parted from you sometime.
No.
Rhea.
No!
All right.
Chris.
Yes.
Why do you stare at me like that?
Like what?
The way you look at me.
It's because you're so beautiful.
No, I don't think that's why. I don't think that's what's in your look.
Rhea, I must go. If you absolutely insist on coming with me, I shall take you with me.
Good.
Why are you barefoot?
I don't know. I must have left my shoes somewhere.
You'll have to take your dress off and put this on.
Flying overalls? What for? Are we going on a flight?
Yes. A flight. That's right. Over the ocean.
How do I write that? How do I write that as she climbed into the suit, I saw the mark from the hypodermic needle on her arm. The needle that had killed her. How can I explain it? She is standing in front of me again. Everything that I'd shut up in a box and tidied away, standing in front of me. My memory had polished the surface of us until it was faultless, until she was as beautiful and as still as a windless sea. But beneath the surface of my shifting memory was something closer to the truth. Even when she died, I didn't look there. I simply put my house in order, placed everything back where it should be, and closed the lid. That was all I could do. Close the lid tightly and go on.
Talk to me! Talk to me! Now, don't just turn around and walk away. You need to hear this!
Afterwards, everyone told me it must have been a mistake. But I knew what I had said to her 5 days before. I didn't just leave. I justified my leaving. Told her what I thought of her. Her selfish need, her possessiveness, her fragility. I didn't tell her about her kindness, her softness, her intelligence, her beauty. All I really remember clearly of her now, those soft things. And she said, I suppose you know what this means. And I pretended not to hear, thinking her too much of a coward. But after 5 days had gone, I went back and found her, cold, crumpled up on our sheets, dead. Rhea. But this wasn't Rhea. I can't write this as not Rhea. What was she if she wasn't my memory of her? It wasn't Rhea. And then I took her to the docking bay. Let me help you in.
Aren't you coming flying too?
Yes, I'm just going to set the coordinates. Comfortable? Can you see me?
Yes,
I wasn't intending to launch it, just to lock her in for an hour or so I could think, so I could plan what to do. I walked away. What are you doing? I just need an hour on my own. You'll damage the craft. Stop it. Rhea, stop it. Stop it! Rhea! And I watched the craft spiraling into space.
Yeah,
Oh, Snow. It's you. You frightened me, I thought.
You're burnt.
It's only my face.
You need a compress on that. Well?
Well, what?
You've had a visitor, haven't you?
I have. Well, I am.
Are you ready to have a chat?
I think so.
And you got rid of it already?
I didn't mean to. I mean, it was an accident.
You didn't try drugs first? Poison? Judo?
Do you want to discuss this thing seriously or not?
Ow. Sorry. There. You'll heal. Well, now. You've rid yourself of whatever it was, and we have 2 or 3 hours at our disposal.
What do you mean?
If I tell you a story, will you believe me?
Go ahead.
It started with Gabarian. He locked himself in his cabin and refused to talk to us except through the door. thought he'd gone mad.
Why didn't he tell you?
How could he? Who'd believe him? Anyway, he's a scientist to the last, wanted to solve it himself, didn't he?
How long did it go on for?
About a week. We thought he was having a breakdown. I gave him scopolamine.
And he took it?
Not for himself. But drugs don't work on them. On the third day, we decided to break down the door, but then, well, by then, we had visitors of our own. We had our hands full, you see. When they're with you, they don't like to be apart from you.
No.
Here, let me show you.
A burn mark?
Launching a craft like you. Caught out with the thing going mad inside, banging against the walls, rupturing the metal till you think they're gonna break out. I panicked, just like you.
You might have warned me.
I did.
You could have chosen a better way.
You wouldn't have believed me.
You could have tried.
But I didn't know what you'd see. No one can know. No one ever knows.
Will she come back then?
Yes. Well, yes and no. She'll come back, but it'll be as it was on her first visit. She won't remember or even know that you tried to get rid of her. If you abide by the rules, she won't be aggressive.
What rules?
It depends on the circumstances.
Stop talking to me in riddles.
I'm not. You don't understand. All right. Can you tell me who your visitor was?
A woman who... She died. An injection.
A suicide?
Yes.
Is that all? No. That's not all, is it?
No. That's not all. There was a quarrel. I lost my temper, packed my bags, cleared out. I was certain she didn't mean it. I was certain. I didn't hear from her. 5 days later, I went back. She was dead.
You poor innocent.
What do you mean by that?
It's a tragic story.
Yes.
I mean, no, no. You still don't see. Of course, it's a terrible burden to carry around with you. You must feel like a murderer. I see this. But there are worse things, you see. Worse things.
Are there?
Yes, and I'm comforted that you don't believe me.
I don't understand.
A normal man. What is a normal man? A man who has never committed a disgraceful act. Maybe he never had uncontrollable thoughts. Perhaps something, a phantasm, rose up from somewhere within him 10 or 20 years ago. Something he suppressed and then forgot about. He didn't fear it then, as he knew it would never develop and lead to action on his part. And now, suddenly, in broad daylight, he comes across this thing, this thought embodied, riveted to him, and indestructible.
But you're not criminals.
You call yourself a psychologist, Kelvin. Who hasn't had a moment of obsession? A fetishistic moment. Situations, places, things, beings that no one has dared to externalize, but which the mind has produced by accident in a moment of aberration. Madness. And the ideas become flesh and blood.
And that's what your visitor is.
We take off into the cosmos, ready for anything. Solitude, hardship, exhaustion, death, even. And there are moments in that gallant endeavour where we think pretty well of ourselves. But we don't really want to conquer the cosmos. We simply want to extend the Earth's boundaries. We're humanitarian, chivalrous. No, we don't want to enslave other races. We simply want to bequeath to them our values and take over their heritage in exchange. It's all a lie. We're only seeking man. We're only seeking ourselves. We're looking for mirrors.
No, we're searching for new knowledge.
Mirrors, Kelvin. We're really searching for an ideal image of our own world. We go in quest of a planet, of a civilization greater than our own. At the same time, there's something inside us that
we don't like to face up to, from which we protect ourselves, but which nevertheless remains.
We're making contact. That's what we're doing here.
I'm talking about contact. Contact with another civilization. That's what we all wanted, what the space programs have all been about. And now we've got it. We don't like it. Our own monstrous ugliness mirrored back to us, our folly, our shame.
So you think the ocean's doing this? But why? Why would it? Do you seriously think that it wants to punish us?
It's contact.
Are you trying to tell me that that mass of metamorphic plasma is scheming against us?
11 days ago, we exposed the ocean to a high level of gamma rays.
That's against the Four Nations Agreement and the Geneva Protocol. Why did you do that?
It was playing with us.
The ocean?
Changing readings, tampering with equipment. Even the shapes, the plasmic forms, it was as if it was mocking us. The visitors appeared 4 days later. Perhaps the ocean reacted to the irradiation with a counter-irradiation. Perhaps it probed our minds and penetrated some kind of psychic tumour.
Tumour?
Yes. It's not so crazy. An isolated psychic process inside us, the memory decoded from our minds. It took an isolated memory, a horrific one, expanded it. The ocean read us.
Read you?
It doesn't appear to actually want to destroy us. Giving its metamorphic gymnastics, it could have done that already. It could have done anything it wished. Confronted me with your double, confronted you with mine.
That's why you were so alarmed when you first saw me.
Yes, in fact, how do you know that it hasn't done? How do you know yourself? She doesn't know, does she? They don't know. How do you know I'm Dr. Snow, who landed here 2 years ago? Oh, that's enough of that. We're two happy mortals. I could kill you. You could happily kill me.
So you were angry with the ocean. You were punishing it, and you exposed it to gamma rays out of anger.
Are you about to prosecute me, Dr. Kelvin?
So you do hate it.
You have no idea what it's done to us.
Done to you? Is that how you see it?
Yes, that's how I see it.
And the visitors, can they be killed?
I wouldn't advise it. It's a horrible sight.
What about a gamma pistol?
Would you risk it?
Because they're not human. Did Gibarion know as much as we do?
Very probably.
And Sartorius?
Everyone has their own way of coping. Sartorius is trying to remain normal. He wants to preserve his respectability as an envoy of an official mission.
You're joking.
He still shaves, still polishes his shoes. What else can we do? Act our part or commit a crime?
A crime?
Perhaps that's not quite the right word. Divorce through injection. Have you got a plan?
No. But when she comes again?
Yes.
No, nothing. She'll definitely return.
Yes.
How do they get in? The station's completely sealed.
I don't know.
I could barricade myself in.
That wouldn't last long. You saw the bent bed in Gabarian's room. There is a solution.
What?
Destroy the space station.
You can't be serious.
We'd have to fake it. Send out an SOS call. Of course they'd find out. The records, the computers, impossible to trick. And we'd be placed in a mental hospital with white rooms, nurses and supervised walks. That wouldn't be so bad after this, would it? Your face. You can't imagine, can you, what it's been like for us? What it will be like for you.
There must be a better way than that.
Maybe. But nothing comes to mind. Then it might be worth our while to stay. We're unlikely to learn anything about it, but we'll probably learn something about ourselves. Won't we?
Burton.
Yes, the file.
Will it explain any of this?
It sheds some light.
How much longer do I have?
Maybe an hour. You didn't say who she was.
My wife. She was my wife.
And then Snow would have left. And in my report, I could describe the red sun sinking over the ocean and once again bathing my bleak cabin with warm orange light. Or I could describe the bleak sensation of waiting and a tidied-up box, a place of intolerable sadness being wedged open again, and the painful contents being handled, mulled over, examined, and then left scattered outside of the place I so carefully left all her memory. But even that won't begin to explain the sinking dread of it. Andre Burton, something tangible. Yes. I decided to listen to the band report of Andre Burton. I worked as I have always worked. I tried to keep myself busy. Burton was ultimately regarded as a renegade pilot, though he had been the first pilot of the Shanahan expedition. After his mission to Solaris, he had been in and out of mental institutions for the rest of his life. He had now reached a mythical status in the history of Solaris research. I had heard rumors of the contents of his report, but believed that the original no longer existed.
Burton Report 2505B. Classified.
I've reached 200 meters in cytoplasmic form. A mimoid. It had become very difficult to maintain altitude due to violent gusts of wind. Suddenly I realized my machine was heading towards a wall of fog again and I had to maneuver it against the wind. But when I looked down again, I saw. I saw the garden. Look, yellow foam gushed through its center and the earthquake began to shatter it. But in the distance, I noticed something else, an object that was floating on the surface of the ocean. Fechner had been gone for 3 days by then, and there was some hope. When I came nearer, I realized it was a child. A child of enormous proportions, maybe 50 meters across, floating in a sea needle. I don't know what, like the garden, but it moved. A gigantic child. We never found Fetchner. And afterwards, I remembered a photo he had shown me. I knew him a bit. He'd lost a child in some sort of accident. It was a son, I think. The vast child I saw on the ocean was the same child. The same child I had seen in the photograph.
Document complete.
The sun had almost vanished, and the light in the room was faintly reminiscent of a spring evening. The dusk light had smoothed the harsh surfaces in the room. The vents blew a breeze into my cabin, and I can almost imagine that I'm elsewhere again. And I thought then that perhaps if we cannot get rid of our visitors, we could adapt to them. Eventually, surely an equilibrium could be broached, reached, a happy acceptance, an understanding even. I peeled off the dressings from my burns. My face looked pink and fleshy in the mirror, as if I'd been running. I was no longer afraid. My mind emptied, and as I shifted, I felt Gibarion's recorder in my pocket. I took it out and hid it, subconsciously, beneath the bed. I closed my eyes.
Chris? Chris? Are you there? It's so dark. I can't see anything.
Come here. Come here, my darling. was perfect. She is perfect. No past, no future, no history for her to be angry with me for. And I have never hurt her, and she has never hurt me. And I hold her, and kiss her, and hold her, and kiss her, and touch her again.
In Solaris, Chris was played by Ron Cook, Snow by Tim McMullen, and Sartorius by Stuart Richman. Rhea was played by Joanne Froggatt, and the woman by Maxine Berth. Original music was composed and performed by Alice Truman. Sound design was by Steve Brook. Solaris was written by Stanislav Lem, dramatised by Hattie Naylor, and directed in Manchester by Polly Thomas.